Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Wales win, Germany are through to the World Cup finals, and Brereton Diaz does it again. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Tuesday, the 12th of October. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Memphis Depay.
Well, if you are, Brass, I've got some questions.
Please, yeah. Continue.
Have you been practicing? Guys, we are in our little rooms today. We're remote. One of the gang has got the sniffles, so bear with, but we are bringing all the football love to you nonetheless, so stick with us. How are you doing in your PJs, Jim? Looking well?
I actually don't own pyjamas. I'm increasingly thinking that I should get some.
That's a saucier response than I was expecting.
Yeah. Is it? Or am I just not like a... You know, like a Victorian man. Do people actually wear pyjamas? I don't know.
Well, what that implies is that you sleep in the nude, Campbell.
Well, I'm a bit nude. Like, but not like...
Well, you're a bit nude now.
Just, well, under my clothes. But I mean, like, I just sleep in underwear, right? So I just, the idea of wearing clothes to bed seems very formal to me.
Mm. I have a relative who wears underwear under their pyjamas.
Yeah, and see, that's the worst of both worlds, isn't it? You don't get the sort of silky smoothness of the pyjamas or the fun of nudity.
What's he trying to hold back? What's the deal? What is that about? Two layers at bedtime.
Apparently, we're the weird ones, but I don't know.
Weird. Yeah. Let us know how you sleep, listeners. Anyone weirder than pyjamas with underwear?
shirtfootballramble.com, or you can tweet us, but first listen to the show. We're going to tell you about Wales winning 1-0 against Estonia. Kiefer Moore with the winner. Didn't really look much like a winner, did it? Sort of dribbled into the goal. Danny Ward's in the Wales goal with a man of the match performance. 3 saves from 10 attempts, a lovely one off that Siniowski, amazing shot.
Yeah.
Kind of making up for his terrible blunder in the previous game. But pretty enjoyable most of it, although not a classic, Jim.
No, but this is one of those World Cup qualifiers where it's just about getting the job done, isn't it? Because you're going to go there, it's going to be really, really hard work. It's going to feel like a drain to play. It didn't look like a fun experience for Wales, did it? And they said as much after the game. But, you know, I think they were probably quite disappointed not to beat Estonia at home. And the point was made afterwards that they're actually, you know, they're quite a hard team to beat, very, very well organised. So, it's, you know, that's actually a really, really impressive result, even though people were talking before about how they might, you know, really turn on the style and smash them. They picked quite an attacking lineup to try and eke out that win. And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, they had to win it any which way, didn't they, really? Because especially after drawing both games now with the Czechs, they have it in their hands. And they have the game in hand as well, obviously, which could help them get into second place. So it's really difficult. When you come out of a tournament, which you do quite well in, and all of a sudden you're faced with a really difficult qualifying task, it's super hard, I think, to get yourself up for that again. And they've done really well, first to get that result in the Czech Republic and then to just get this win. Because as you said, I think not getting through in the first game was living in their heads a little bit. It would have been worse if they hadn't have scored in the first quarter of an hour. And allow me to retort, Kate, I thought that was the most noble of away day winners, just toed and dribbling over the line. That's the sort of winner you want in an away game, I think.
Yeah, I guess you are right. It's mad, isn't it, to think that Wales obviously qualified, they're their regulars on the European Championship scene and famously reached those 2016 semi-finals and then the last 16 this summer. But they haven't played in a World Cup since making their only appearance in 1958.
Wow.
Which, that was before even you were with us, isn't it, Brass?
Well, I don't know about that. I was a toddler, though. So, yeah, the Pelé World Cup. Yeah, that's right. So it would be a huge deal to them. And, you know, when you think about, say, Northern Ireland getting to the Euros in 2016 and now, even though, knowing from friends who follow Northern Ireland, there's such an extraordinary positivity around them, they've not managed to carry on with that, whereas Wales have. And to take the next step by going to a World Cup would be absolutely fantastic for them, especially as I don't want to go on about them not having Gareth Bale for this, but it is an absolutely massive deal. You can't get away from that. You know, the fact that they're, you know, not entirely reliant on him and not entirely reliant on Newcastle United's Aaron Ramsey either, I think is quite important to note. Connor Roberts just shows up every single time. He's been great in both of these games after being terrific in the Euros. So it does feel, whereas they're still a little bit underrated, Wales. They've got a lot more than people would like to admit, I think, and they're definitely growing.
Sauber Thomas doing a great job on his first start as well, wing back. No, it was a team performance, definitely. Mm.
Joe Roden as well appears to be really growing into a sort of almost like a senior figure for Wales. Excellent clearance off the line. Very sort of like calm, measured defending from him. So, I mean, Wales, I think part of it is because of their away support is so notoriously good and so much like a family, but they almost feel like an underdog club side. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's really quite infectious.
Yeah. It's cool. Gareth Bale though, he's you mentioned him, Brass. He's busy at the, he's injured, but he's been at the Spanish Open at the weekend. He says he's the best golfer at Real Madrid, but actually only Thibaut Courtois plays, apart from him. he spoke to a mate of mine who says he's a top, top lad. That was that's where we got the quotes from. I was trying to get some dirt. It's a Spurs fan friend who does the pod that, or one that does like a golf pod, and supposedly Gareth Bale is a big fan of it.
Oh.
Do we believe that? I think we do, don't we?
Well, see, it's funny to me, the amount of like criticism Gareth Bale gets for liking and playing golf.
For having a hobby, basically.
Like, we are really not that far away from the days when clubs had notorious and almost competitive drinking clubs. It's just playing another sport.
Yeah, as long as he does his stretches, I'm all right about it.
There is that inference that it's not drinking or playing computer games. So what on earth are you doing?
I think it is quite
interesting. I mean, it's been used as a stick to beat him, a club to beat him with in the Spanish press for quite a long time. But I think that's hilarious that he's the best golfer at Real Madrid because no one else plays. It's a bit like that. Do you remember that Tony Hawk book, playing the Moldovans at tennis, where he has a bet at the beginning with Arthur Smith, another comedian, when they're watching England beat Moldova 4-0 at Wembley, and he says, because he was like Sussex under 16 champion or something, he says, I reckon I could beat all these lot at tennis. And Arthur Smith says, well, you couldn't, because they're intrinsically good at sport. People who are good at football are just good at all sports. So he has to track down all these, the 11 that started for Moldova as part of the bet, and play them all at tennis, some of whom have never seen a tennis racket before. But he still basks in the glory, which is, I guess, very much like Gareth Bale.
Yeah, you've got to set up the conditions of the event, of the competition, don't you, to favour you. I think that's just eminently sensible.
Said like a true only child.
Gareth and Tebow aren't playing golf like at the training ground, are they? They're doing that separately. Because I can see why you might have an issue with that.
You mean they don't play against each other?
Like during Real Madrid training.
This is where move speculation starts, Jim, because of course they have that incredible putting green at the front of the Spurs training ground,
which
reputedly only Harry Kane was allowed to use before Gareth Bale turned up.
Wow.
Is that
healthy?
Is that what you've heard, or is that a joke?
No,
it can't be right, can it?
I don't. Oh, I don't know.
Are you bristling, Kate? I feel like you're bristling.
My mind is absolutely blown.
Well, I can imagine, because Harry Kane's got that sort of, you know, cigarette card footballer sort of sheen to him, despite being in the 21st century. I can imagine him playing with one of those like really long putters, you know, like Sam Torrance used to have, where you hold it up by your face. I can imagine Harry Kane going to his car and getting one of those out of the boot, can't you?
Yeah, I hung around by that putter green, trying to take the odd covert photo when I was lost at the training ground. They don't like it. So there definitely is. The reason you got me with that idea about Harry Kane is there's definitely, I mean, I'm sure I don't fit into the hierarchy, but there's definitely a strong hierarchy as to who is allowed to go anywhere near that special putting green. I don't know. Moving on to Germany 4, North Macedonia 0. I don't know if the German side would be allowed on it, but they managed to put their home loss back in March behind them. But
this really annoyed me.
It was a relentless barrage of misses, wasn't it, Jim? Were you hopeful for the North Macedonians?
No, I was just hoping that Germany would like finished. We'd knock them out of the Euros, you know, like piss off. Like just be in the doldrums for longer than this. I thought you don't want to have to like worry about Germany when you get to a tournament, but they're already qualified. They're the first team to do it, aren't they? It's like, oh, for God's sake, is this how long it takes for them to regenerate? Like Doctor Who. Just stop it.
I don't know if we call this proof that they've regenerated, would we?
You might be right, but I guess they're always pretty strong in qualifying, aren't they? So maybe it's, you know, actually qualifying form tends to become irrelevant when you get to the tournament, don't you? Apart from, you know, I mean, Italy kind of proved that not to be the case in the Euros, but broadly speaking, it's, you know, that is the case.
Why did you mention Italy?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, one thing I was happy to see was Timo Werner get a couple of goals. He actually looked pretty. He looks a bit more like the Leipzig Timo Werner, just with like the couple of quite clinical finishes. And
really,
I'm impressed by
you
how...
You say that. I mean, yes, they were good, but how much... do they want... The second goal was a lovely finish, but how much space do you want to give a man to allow him to finish?
But I think the thing is, though, when you're a player like Timo Werner, who's built his reputation on being quite a clinical finisher and a bit of a poacher, like maybe picking up a half chance, sometimes those mistakes happen in games and you've got to be there to capitalise on it. And that's just the type of player that he seems to have been coming from Germany, and we've seen a bit less of it for Chelsea. And I'm not saying I want him to start banging in the goals for Chelsea, because they're terrifying enough as it is, really, but just sort of on a personal level, I quite like Timo Werner, as he seems absolutely unfazed by the sort of criticism he's had, and it's nice to see him at his best, really.
Yeah, and he got a lot in Germany over the weekend, because in the first game they played against Romania, they got given a penalty in the fourth minute for an alleged foul on Werner, which Junet Chakir went back and removed after VAR. And so he's got this enormous reputation as being a diver in Germany, and people started on that again. So Hansi Flick, who is very much a man to defend his players, sort of came out and stuck up for Werner after this. But I think going back to the manner of these two goals against North Macedonia, I think the finishes are important rather than the space, because he creates the space already. He gets his share of chances. He's just got into missing them all or missing most of them. That has been the thing. So it's never been a question of ability with him, because he's got the ability to find the space and thus score the goals in the Premier League, but it's been in his head. So, you know, if he can turn it around from here, it'd be interesting to see if him and Lukaku can click long-term, whether Chelsea have semi-written him off already. I mean, I do think it will take a really incredible spell of Timo Werner form for him to have a long-term future at Chelsea, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. And a first international goal for England's Jamal Musiala as well. I saw his one of his school teachers has been saying that it was amazing having him in the school team, because he scored 112 goals in 36 games. Which I don't know about you guys, but that does seem a tiny bit unreasonable when you're going up against fellow, I don't know, 10, 11-year-olds. I imagine those guys are just crushed for life off the back of that.
Yeah. I mean, it's astonishing, isn't it? You get players like that where, you know, they make a breakthrough, you hear numbers like that. I remember Wayne Rooney and Alan Shearer being similar. And it's always a sign that someone's going to go on and, like, not just have a professional career, but a career right at the top level. So, I mean, it's a shame we missed out on him, isn't it? But we don't need him. Don't need him. We've got Jesse Lingard. We're fine.
That was Jogi Löw's parting gift, wasn't it? Making sure that Musiala came over to Germany. It's interesting because you hear about how he took him out for dinner and talked him through his role in the team and all that sort of stuff, put on the real charm offensive. He did take him out for dinner in the hospitality suite at Bayern. It's like, here, some of your own food. Enjoy yourself. Have as much as you like. If you want to have that second can of beans and another packet of super noodles, you go for it. It's all yours. Whatever you want.
It's like that classic thing of being at someone's birthday and there's a tab and some bloke offers to get you a drink. You're like, yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for that. Fine. Thanks for that lovely free drink. I really appreciate you carrying it.
I will say, whenever we've been to places with free bars, Pete Donaldson insists on buying and paying for a round, because think, I don't know what's why he does it. I don't know.
Does he always want something very niche off menu? So he's like, we need the Patron. We need the champagne cocktail with, I don't know, I can't think of a complicated cocktail, but you know what I'm getting at, with egg white in.
I don't want to psychoanalyze him too much, because that way madness lies.
Yes, good moment to move on. You're probably right. Kai Havertz said that he was talking about his open, when he had that open goal against Man City in the Champions League final, he thought about turning into a meme if he missed. He says, these moments, they're always the worst, because you think, if I miss this one, then of course you're on YouTube, on Instagram, and in every meme. So I was just thinking, please, I have to score now. I don't know. I go backwards and forwards about whether I like thinking and hearing about footballers knowing about themselves in the real world. Do you know what I mean, guys? It's much more extreme thinking about the Euros final, obviously, but it's not dissimilar in concept to realizing the level of pressure for these kids is not just the pressure in the moment and the pressure that they put on themselves and all the other pressures. It's also just this twats like us talking about them.
To me, it's a good indication of how time works in the minds of footballers, because to me, he gets the chance, he scores, whereas to him, he's got the chance to think, oh yeah, don't miss it, and don't turn up on, what is there, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, Snapchat. And it's like, you know how great players have all the time in the world. I can't believe he had enough time to think about all that stuff before sticking it in the back of the net. But fair play to him. That's elite level footballers for you, I guess.
Yeah, maybe they've got a relationship with all of the tech platforms. He had to make sure, you know, that he caught all of them, even in his own brain. All of these tech platforms are available. Netherlands beat Gibraltar 6-0. They've scored 29 goals in qualification, the most of any side. But that's not the important thing. The important thing, Jim, is that Louis van Gaal shouted Sparta as he walked out of his press conference.
He is the gift that keeps on giving, isn't he? Just of course he did. You know, and now they've vanquished Gibraltar. I mean, who are the Spartans in that? How are the Dutch the Spartans in that
maybe
situation?
Maybe he was supporting Gibraltar in that situation.
Isn't it because Sparta Rotterdam was his main team from when he was a player, and they were playing in Rotterdam, but at the Feyenoord Stadium.
Ah.
So it's basically like, if
this sounds
if,
like, this, it's basically sounds like you're like, riffing.
Like if Gary Neville was the manager of England, and they were playing a game at Anfield, and he got up from his seat at the end of the press conference and went, "United!"
Yeah.
That's what it's like.
That makes so much more sense. That. Yeah, I do respect that.
Yeah.
Oh, Louis. Great performance from the Dutch, wasn't it?
Yes, carry on.
Yeah, I mean, like, Andy, how do you feel about Memphis not getting a hat-trick because he missed a penalty against Gibraltar? Great save by the goalkeeper. That's one for his, like, you know, sticker book, isn't it? But
it was as well. Bradley Bander, it was his first game for Gibraltar's senior team, and he saved the Memphis penalty. I mean, I think that just goes to show how all-round wonderful Memphis is, that he ran the game, scored a couple of goals, and created an unforgettable moment for a player making his way in the game. It's quite beautiful.
He got his revenge, though, didn't he, with another penalty, which he made sure not to miss. Absolutely leathered that one in.
He laced it, didn't he? But the thing that annoyed me when it was very well saved, actually, by Bando is the fact that it's one of those ones where you could tell on the analysis, certainly over here, people would have gone, no run-up. You know, overlooking the fact that that's just his penalty routine and that's what works for him. And in fact, if you don't run up, it's, you know, you don't really telegraph where you're putting it normally, do you? So, look, he has a super time, and I don't care if it was against Gibraltar. It was really fun to watch. Nice to see Gini Wijnaldum get a little run out as well. He's been talking about how grumpy he is at PSG recently. I mean, we heard all that, didn't we, Kate, about Paul Ince saying how Ole Gunnar Solskjaer misled Donny van de Beek. It sounds like Wijnaldum feels that way about Pochettino. I mean, I don't want to get on Pochettino. He's had this week where, you know, he's sort of been munching on salt bay steaks and all the rest of it. I mean, your hero's getting a bit of a kicking, isn't he?
Yeah, Pochettino as well. As we know, Kate, you have sampled the salt bay steak.
Thank you. Yeah, by accident. It's mad that actually
by accident. I'll have expensive steak on the menu.
Yeah. No, Can you put some flakes of gold on my steak, please?
You joke, but I don't know. I guess there are tiers of it. I don't think I had I think I probably had the cheapest one on the menu. But like, it was in Qatar. Everything's expensive in Qatar. We just went to the steak place. It was newish when my dad was out. And we got it. And it just, I don't know, am I allowed to say it looked kind of mangy? And we didn't know it was
your steak had mange. Wow. That's not a ringing endorsement, is it?
Look, I don't know. It's all grease and stuff, isn't it? You've seen the videos. And
Come to the table? Did he come to the table for you? No?
I don't know. I'd have to ask my dad. There was a guy faffing about.
Dad? But was there a weird little pratty fellow dropping salt from really high up for no obvious reason?
I fucking think there was, now we say it. And I just totally was like...
I tell you what, this is your calling card, Mace. I think that all these footballers and celebrities eat out of his hand, and he's like, he's just blanking him. I love it.
And old Howard was just like totally nonplussed by the entire affair. Oh God, yeah. Anyway, what do I know about culinary achievements? Fuck all, that's for sure. Maricardi's going to St James's Park, by the way. Speaking of I don't know, places that need to up their restaurant game. I don't know. I don't know. Actually, you'll know better than us, Brass. Wonder, his wife and agent, doesn't want to leave Paris, which frankly is probably fair enough, isn't it?
No, but she didn't want to leave Milan either. So
to be supposed to influence his career a hell of a lot, she doesn't seem to have much, ability to influence where she gets to live.
You say that. I think she is as good as agents get, Wanda Icardi, because, she managed to parlay Paris Saint-Germain's desperation to have a centre forward, not necessarily him, into, I think, an extra couple of million a year for him. She does a brilliant job. And, I think she would add some interesting glamour, not just some glamour, some interesting glamour to the whole Newcastle United thing. I would absolutely love to see Icardi here. I think it would be fantastic, as well as the fact, you know, he's one of the best finishers in the world. He doesn't do anything when he hasn't got the ball, but who cares about that stuff? Yeah. People will absolutely love him. Newcastle does have a great food game, but I do think it is the next natural step that there is a Nusret opened in the stadium somewhere. Don't you?
I'd say let's go, but I probably wouldn't notice. All right, let's take a quick break, shall we? Then we're going to head to South America and hopefully some interesting glamour to come in the second half.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, I'm Hazel Hayes.
And I'm Sheehan Todd.
And welcome to our brand new podcast, We're Not Fucking Historians. It sounds like I'm saying we're not fucking historians.
Yeah, we're saying we're not experts.
We're not historians ourselves. Not that we're not having sex with historians.
No historians getting fucked on this pod.
Zero historians getting fucked on this podcast. We are, in fact, your alternative guide to Irish history.
Every week we prize open the history books and find a new tale from the Emerald Isle's colourful past. We're exploring Ireland's traditions, its rich heritage and its long, proud history of being invaded by literally anyone with a boat. The Vikings were showing up at the monastery going, where's that booty?
The earliest booty call.
It's the booty call you didn't want. 50 Scandinavian Vikings showed up.
Or our biggest celeb, St. Paddy. He says he prayed up to 100 times a day and sometimes during the night.
That's what a 5-year-old would say. I prayed 100 times, I swear. Patrick also said he was fastest in his slippers. He's a fucking Billy bullshitter.
If, like us, you're the kind of person who's interested in history, but not so interested that you'd go read a book about it or listen to actual experts, then this is the show for you.
This is history done differently, with a couple of facts and plenty of crack.
So, join us on our journey through Ireland's past.
Search We're Not Fucking Historians on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And remember,
we're not fucking historians. Sorry, I was far too fast there.
We're Not Fucking Historians is a Stack production
and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Dion Dublin, and when I'm not banging my dube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Me, Jim, and Andy in your ears today. All in our pyjamas. It's a pyjama party in your ears on a Tuesday. Lovely stuff, except no, because as we ascertained in the first half, Jim doesn't own any, so what is he wearing? That's one for you to think on. Now it's time for these.
If you've got something for us, showfootballramble.com.
Yes, Faisal has been in touch. He says, I'd like to chime in on the longest round trip you've done to watch your team lose. I was stateside when my beloved national team of Jordan beat Uzbekistan on pens in World Cup qualifying to make it to the continental playoffs. Jordan in the World Cup, hell yes! The prospects of it had me absolutely giddy. I swore that whoever Jordan play in the playoffs, I will be there to witness this. The draw happened, we could have gotten Costa Rica, ended up getting Uruguay with all of Forlan, Cavani and Suarez up front. front. Oh, Lord. Not deterred by their star-studded team, I proceeded to fly from LA to Jordan via Dubai, a total of 15,400 kilometres one way with the sole intention of watching the match. We lost 5-0. Never had a sniff. Looking back, I should have known this would happen when, the day before the match, the Jordanian national team were preparing like mad, while the full Uruguayan team, including coaches and staff, were photographed having a lovely day out on the beach at the Dead Sea. Takes a fucking piss. Never bothered with the return leg.
Oh, yeah, it's
got to be chastening. What
although
a trip,
on the
though.
Upside, I guess, yeah, exactly. And I guess on the upside, that's sort of them paying respect to Jordan's lovely natural surroundings.
Yeah, in a way.
The Dead Sea. Yeah, you know, they're saying, we respect you, not as a footballing nation, but as a holiday destination.
As a destination, yeah. I mean, 15,400 miles, that's going to take some beating, isn't it? It's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you would
imagine,
like to try and beat Faisal.
Imagine the air miles. Imagine the air miles. I think it's got quite a happy ending, but there you go.
I think air miles are a myth, really, Brass. I feel like I've been collecting them. I feel like I've been collecting them my entire life. 10.2 million people live in Jordan, by the way, which is just about, it's the same sort of population as London. So that is pretty impressive to get that far.
Yeah, they did well. Yeah,
definitely. We've got one from Luke here, one of many people who've been in touch about their mad driving instructors. On the subject of driving instructors, I got chatting to mine in our first lesson about football, as you do, and he mentioned the film Mike Bassett, England Manager. After I told him I'd never seen it, he then proceeded to play the entire film in installments on his phone over the course of a few lessons. Oh, he told me that it was important for me to know what it was like driving while distracted. Surprisingly, I passed.
Wow.
What effort.
I mean, yeah, judge him on his results. It's amazing.
One of my driving instructors used to just use our driving lesson to hit on women out of the window. Is that a common experience? Yeah, because I was learning in London, so we'd go quite slowly. And so he'd just wind the window down and be like chatting to babes.
My experience
That's so
was
weird.
My experience was been given the lid of a biscuit tin to practice not crossing my hands on the steering wheel because it was considered too unsafe for me to cross my hands on the steering wheel by the instructor. So I sat there in a car with the lid of a biscuit tin sort of, you know, just feeding it round, like turning it basically without crossing my arms.
You use the word feeding there. Were the biscuits still involved? Or
oh, if only, if only.
Oh, sorry to hear that. That actually does sound at least kind of constructive. Slightly better than Luke's driving instructor here and my one, who
definitely
will remain nameless.
Definitely.
I mean, I did pass, but I had a number of driving instructors, so I'm not sure we can lay it at his feet. Show at footballramble.com. Tweet us at footballramble. We love hearing from you. Now, as we always cover the extremely serious stuff here on the Football Ramble, probably time to talk about the Brazil-Colombia game, where Neymar seemed to be trying to give Yerry Mina a kiss on the lips during a scrap.
Yeah, it's an interesting tactic, that, isn't it?
Was it a kiss he was trying to do?
It really looked like it. If I was Yerry Mina, I'd be like, all right, mate, I'm not your sister. What are you doing?
to me, it recalled the often forgotten love affair between David Beckham and Alpi. You remember during the England-Turkey qualifiers? That was fun. Beckham really took a shine to him. And when I say took a shine to him, people forget what a good baiter David Beckham was. He was excellent, wasn't he?
But do you remember the reaction to that, though? I mean, was he at Villa at the time? And they like ended up releasing him shortly afterwards. And like people were like hanging effigies and stuff. It's really, really over the top.
It's almost like people are a bit mad in football, isn't it? Lionel Messi became the first South American to score 80 international goals. That was yesterday in Argentina's 3-0 win over Uruguay.
You know, we talk about how people invent records for Messi and Ronaldo. This is an invented record. The first South American to score 80 international goals. Come on.
Yeah, I was totally convinced by it. It sounds massive. It's a lot of goals, isn't it, Brassel?
It's excellent. It's excellent. But I'm not sure it's a landmark.
Yeah,
the goal was
that,
also
Ronaldo.
A pass.
You can't even be a South American, you tosser.
Nah, exactly. Yeah, take that. The goal was a pass, though, wasn't it? It just, I think everybody just gets scared when Messi like moves the ball. So they freeze a little bit and everyone froze and the pass just went all the way in.
I think you can empathise with that happening, though, Jim, can't you?
Oh, 100%.
It's almost like it doesn't... Yeah, the older he gets, the less he'll need to do, as he already is, I guess, but the less he'll need to do, right? Because every time he turns up, people freak out.
The idea of him is terrifying. It's the same with Ronaldo, isn't it? You see people lose their confidence when they're faced with either of them, and that is, you know, that's a... What a luxury that is. You've got to be amazing. A certain level of player to inspire that.
Yeah, that's actually really interesting. When we do our Messi Ronaldo podcast at some point, Jim, we'll go into that. We'll go into that more. Luis Suarez, do you remember we were on about his explaining his phone call celebration against Barcelona the other weekend, and he I've lost track of how many explanations he made, but he said something about, oh, it was just about my mates calling me and if they know my number,
letting
they
his
can
kids
call
know
me
that
still.
They could call him.
Yeah, it was very weird. Yeah. Anyway, either way, as may have been obvious to everybody, he sort of now implied and said that actually Ronald Koeman is a tosser, basically, and said he lacks personality. Although I don't know, you guys, like, given that the main aim of being a manager at Barcelona was initially to just keep Messi happy, and Messi thinks that managers are kind of idiots anyway. Maybe Jim having a personality is not that useful. That might actually be a disguised compliment.
I mean, I don't know Ronald Koeman, but from what I can tell, he seems to have quite a big personality. But I think this might be a bit of a translation issue. I think Suarez is saying that he lacks character and lacks the kind of fortitude to just actually treat him with respect. It's still ridiculous what happened there. And it's really funny to me that Suarez won't stop going on about it. I guess people keep asking him about it. But I think you're probably right, actually.
It was on Twitch, apparently, right? That's where all this stuff sneaks out, isn't it? They let their guard down.
Yeah, it's unfiltered, isn't it?
He said the Koeman phone call to tell me that he was not counting on me lasted 40 seconds. It is not the way to get rid of a legend.
I think that's fair enough, isn't it? As much as we've
been sort of laughing
at him for not letting it go, it is ridiculous, and it's come back to bite them appropriately enough. I you're right, though. It's interesting. We spoke to Simon Cooper recently on the book club about his new book, and I recommend it because it was a fantastic read, and he was an excellent interview. And he spoke about how actually the head coach at Barcelona, certainly in recent times, they do need to have been a little bit malleable, because it is all about just essentially keeping Messi happy. And Koeman obviously.
But that's the irrelevant thing, isn't it, Jim? If you're Koeman and doing what the club want you to do, by the way, by getting rid of Suarez, because the club want to get rid of him, it's just Koeman is given the job. And it's like, well, who's the most blunt guy we've got on the staff? I know, Ronald, we've got a little job for you. And when you're getting rid of Messi's best mate, I mean, what difference is 40 seconds or 4 minutes or 40 minutes going to make, really?
I don't know, about 30 goals for Atletico in the next season, I reckon.
Given we're in a section about international goal scoring legends, guys, it seems only fair to mention Ben Brereton Diaz scored another goal for Chile in their 2-0 win over Paraguay. Lovely little goal from a tight angle. Everybody went mental.
I love how much he's loved there. It's what a beautiful, weird story. I love how football throws these things up. Like, just...
I enjoyed the detail in Nick Miller's article about him this week, when he said when he first went there, when Chile was still on the red list, it was like fair operation to get him to arrive in Chile. And when they looked at his passport in Madrid, where he went through, were like, hang on, you're born in Stoke-on-Trent and you've got a Chilean passport. Yeah, right. And there was like a strong possibility that he wasn't going to be allowed to get on the flight to Santiago de Chile, because they just thought it was a fake.
Wow.
Did it say whether he had Diaz on his passport name? Because that could be another issue.
Well, it's most important to get it on the shirt before the passport, Kate. I think that's clear.
I love the idea that these border guards were thinking, nah, this guy's just trying to fly out to Chile and like blag his way into the national team. Like, surely he would have mentioned why he was going.
Well, the fun doesn't stop, people, because there are plenty more World Cup qualifiers to come tonight, including England facing off against Hungary at Wembley after being inspired, presumably, by Leicester victory, watching the under-21s win 1-0 against Andorra last night.
Win's a win. That's what it's all about.
And we're going, aren't we, Brass?
Yeah, hooray!
Excited. Have you?
Very much so.
Have you patched your shirt and your face paint?
Yeah, all of them things, although I'm a bit worried it's going to get washed off in the rain.
Yeah, but, don't worry about it. I'm going to bring the back. I've got my backup sorted, so you won't need to worry too much about that.
What am I going to get the England flag tattooed on my face? Is that your backup?
Yes, I think so. I was thinking we'd just do like temporary tattoos, Jim. I don't want him to have it like on his face all the time.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
He's got to get the Sevilla one on and the Leon one. He's got to rotate.
Oh, it's going to be beautiful. Yeah, I'm excited to go. Or am I? I don't know. I still feel
sad.
Yeah,
you love England, Kate. Come on, don't you dare start losing faith.
I'm just nervous about going to Wembley again after. I don't know. I know it's not going to be that last time.
I think you need a sesh with Eileen Drury before you get there to get you in the zone.
Yeah, all right then. Glenn Hoddle's been on about her, hasn't he? Is that why you bring her up? He doesn't regret appointing her as a faith healer during his reign as England manager. I mean, I assume she appointed herself as a faith healer.
He brought her into the fold, didn't he? She didn't just rock up.
Sorry,
like
I just mean that
Ben
she
Brereton.
Said she's a faith. she said she's a faith healer, right? He's not saying, I think you seem like a good faith healer. Presumably, he didn't feel like he had expertise in that era.
No, because let's be honest, not a single human being alive does. It's a weird one
to disrespectful
just,
to Eileen.
Yes, absolutely. And every charlatan like her, like Psychic Sally or Sally, as she should be known. But yeah, it's a weird one, stubborn old man thing to double down on that, isn't it? Just like not reflect on it and go, maybe that was a bit much. But, you know, I guess he believes what he believes.
Jim, I never had you down as the Ray Parler of the Ramble.
I'm the Robert Pele wonderful. As well, surely.
Yeah, exactly.
He said, Ray Parler said, I don't know how faith healing works, guys. Perhaps I'm alone in this. But it seems as though there's touching. She touches your head. Does that sound right? Supposedly when she did that to Ray Parler, he just went, short back and size, please. I was in my head, I was imagining love at the end there, but maybe I've just imagined that. It didn't seem to help, but what can we do? Gareth Southgate says that England have so much competition for places that I have a headache and commit a crime every time I pick a team.
That sounds like something that someone has said in Spanish that's been translated into bad English.
Yeah, it does.
That's so true. It's really weird.
Yeah. No, but
it is International Week.
Yeah, it's fair. Again, though, I mean, this would be the case for any manager. We've got such an embarrassment of riches at the moment. So it's always going to be the case, isn't it?
I can't wait to see them play. I'm very excited. I shouldn't probably admit this, and you can cut it out if you want, guys, but I actually still haven't listened to the post-Euros final ramble.
Oh, too sad.
No way.
Too sad. So I might do that today on the way. Come on, England.
On the way? Sorry, you're going to listen to that on the way to get yourself pumped up for the game? You're doing this wrong.
Yeah. Do you not think?
Remember, no. It's the worst time
stories,
to do it.
Isn't it? All right. When do you want me to do it?
Well, I don't know. Whenever.
A few months ago.
Yeah, probably. Probably the day after, ideally.
Fine. All right, then. Look, tomorrow, it's the three of us again, I think. Is that right? Kate, Jim and Andy. That's what it says
down here. That is us. That checks out.
One for the football purists. Yeah. So, yes, we'll all be back tomorrow. Say goodbye to everybody, Jim.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Brass.
Goodbye.
See you at Wembley. And we'll see you guys next time. Thanks for listening to today's Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. and United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.